y'all did this. They have the socks and pants.
Need some holding for you.
December 15th. I immerse myself in God's love. God's love is a gift that each member of the human family shares. It is blood that binds us together and gives us the ability to create harmony in our world. When we make the decision to think, feel, and act lovingly, we live as the love that we are, and the love between us blossoms and grows. Today, I immerse myself in the awareness of God's love within me. My heart overflows with a renewed and growing awareness of this love that created and sustains me. I am motivated to give of myself in service to others. I release old resentments and offer forgiveness to those who have hurt me. I smile and share my joy. I embrace oneness with God and harmony with all people. And from the Bible, and now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. And the greatest of these is love. Of course, that's from 1 Corinthians. And now, if you would all please remain seated. Well, Joyce plays Surely in the Presence, and Lightning leads us in the song. And it is in the front of your song.
Surely in the presence of
Good, really good. Jerry.
Good morning.
Morning, sir.
Good to see you. Good to see you.
Morning.
Morning. Greeting one another when I'm supposed to.
I'm Tom. I'm Greg.
I'm Greg. Oh, this is my first time here.
Ah. Tom. How you doing?
Great to see you.
Hey there.
Oh, well, welcome. Jenny, how are you?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Folks up, because today is the third Sunday of the Advent season, and this morning Bobby will come forward to light the candles.
We relight the candles of faith and peace. And on this third Sunday of Advent, we light the candle of love. The reading is from a letter to God from Myrtle Fillmore, co-founder of Unity. Dear God, we are centered in your presence and power. Nothing can disturb us or dismay us. In the darkness, your light shines. In the midst of uncertainty, your light reveals the way. Dear God, we are centered in your love. We feel warmed and comforted. Centered in your love, we look at the world with eyes of love. We express love. We draw loving and happy experiences to ourselves. Dear God, we are centered in your strength. No hurt or unhappiness can stay with us. Centered in your strength, we are lifted out of sadness. We are set free from fear. Strength fills us and joy overflows us. Dear God, we are centered in your life. Every part of our bodies feel the touch of your healing life. Centered in your life, we feel quickened and restored. We feel the infilling of your changeless, eternal life. We are healed through and through. And from Luke 2, verses 10 and 11. I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Bobby. Thank you, Myrtle Fillmore. And now, does anyone have any announcements? Yes, Jared?
Well, we're going to have an Abraham meeting. Has changed the day to Tuesday, and it'll be at Rosemarie's, and potluck starts at 6, and the program starts at 7.
All right. Abraham on Tuesday.
Change of dates.
Any other announcements? So now it's time for welcomings. Now it's time for a unity statement. If you would all please join me in a unity statement in your program, we will say it together. We believe in our oneness with all life and the power of love. We teach universal principles and values as taught by Jesus and others. We believe in the one God presence. We practice prayer, meditation, and service to be conscious of our oneness in God. And now it's time for another 2-for-1 special. You'd all please stand. Our first song is going to be on page 286.
This Joyce says you need to know we're going to do this 3 times. There are 3 verses.
Joyful and triumphant, O come,
three, four, God rest you, Mary John. There's three. Love, what gifts do I have to share? And he goes on to say, of all the gifts given and received during the holidays, most are chosen, made, and given with love. The intention behind the gift makes it so meaningful. When we give with joy and enthusiasm, we're demonstrating and sharing our love. But the satisfaction from that kind of giving, the giving of things or donating money, can be fleeting. The impulse to give, to share love, doesn't go away after we change calendars and greet the new year. Of course, we don't have to bottle up our loving impulses until Christmas season comes around again either. We've all heard, it's better to give than to receive. However, there may be something even better than the giving of things, the gift of service. Certainly, there's no shortage of need in the world and no shortage of places that could use our loving service. As Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, everybody can be great because everyone can serve. You only need a heart full of grace, a soul motivated by love. What motivates you? What stirs your love and quickens your impulse to give? Nature lovers might lend a hand towards conservation or environmental causes. Animal shelters never have too many volunteers, and animals are enthusiastic receivers. Maybe easing the burden of the lonely, or helping to feed the hungry speaks to you. Does caring for and teaching children warm your heart? American theologian Frederick Buechner said, "The place God calls you is the place where your deep gladness and the world's hunger meet." The place God calls you is to the place where your deep gladness and the world's hunger meet. There are more than enough service opportunities, as plentiful and unique as there are people to fill them. lots of love to give. John, 1 John, John 1, verse 3:18. Let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action.
Thank you, Pam.
You're welcome.
It's wonderful. I highly agree with that. You know, volunteering is such rewarding work. I've volunteered in a lot of those places that Penny just talked about. Okay, and now it's time for a meditation song. If you all please remain seated for the meditation song on page 290.
Claudia.
you've been probably noticing I'm playing a different drum this morning. I brought this special so that you can enjoy it with me. A little awkward to carry and work with, but this is a very ancient drum. It's over 100 years old. It's from Alaska, and where a lot of our drums are deer hide or elk hide, the little one that the Kalsinian tribe and I usually bring is deer hide. A few months ago, I brought my big grandfather drum that's in the cradle, and that one side is elk hide, the other side is buffalo hide. This one from Alaska is caribou hide. And so I thought you would enjoy seeing this ancient drum. It's a part of our Indian culture from the Tlingit Indians in Alaska. Before I start our story today, I have a few things about it that might be of interest. In quite a number of our Indian legends from Western Washington and the Plateau of Washington and the coastal and the coastal and plateau Indians of Oregon. There are legends that deal with the guy concept of shooting arrows into the sky and into the notches and creating a rope from the sky to the earth. This had to be another one of those. All the tales are very different, but they carry that same concept. And so you'll get that in today's legend. Another thought here is that there are probably more Indian legends about the personality of coyote than of any other animal in our Indian legends on the North American continent, and coyote is in this legend again today. This legend comes from the Willamette River Indians in Oregon. The Willamette River that flows from south of Portland into the Columbia River there in Portland. And it goes like this. Once, there was a monster along the Willamette River that lived in a dark cave. He would wait until nighttime to come out of his cave, and he would capture all the human people that he could find and take them back to his cave and eat them. People were very afraid. One day, coyote came and visited them. And they said, "Oh, coyote, will you please save us? There are just a few of us left. Save us from that terrible monster that lives in that dark cave." Coyote said, "Yeah, I'll take care of that for you. I'll kill him. I'll get rid of him." But coyote wasn't sure just how to do that. The coyote knew how to call on his friend Fox. And I might say, Fox often becomes to the really big helper of coyote. Fox is a trickster, and coyote needed his trickster medicine powers. Well, Fox said to him, "Well, you know that monster, he lives in that dark cave, and he never comes out in daylight because the bright daylight blinds him." So he gave Coyote his idea of what he might do. So together they planned the event. So the next morning, when the sun was out bright, Coyote took his bow and arrows and he shot an arrow into the sun. Then he shot another arrow right into the notch of the first arrow. Then he shot a third arrow into the notch of the second arrow, and he kept doing this until he had an arrow rope all the way from the sun to the earth. Well, then he started pulling on that rope, pulling hard, until he pulled the sun all the way to the earth and hid it in the waters of the Willamette River. And now it became very dark. oh, the monster in the cave, oh, it's dark outside, now I can go out. And so he went out. But after he came out and was a good distance from the cave looking for some human beings, Coyote cut the arrow rope. Bingo! Grandfather Sun came up flying out of the water and up into the sky, and the monster was blinded and he couldn't see. Coyote killed him. The people were so grateful, so happy. And you might be saying, now, Grandfather, now you're, where are you going to find that in the Bible? Well, before I tell you where I find it in the Bible, let me say a few things about our Indian legends. Jesus, when he was talking to the people in his day and time, quite often he was in a confrontation with Pharisees and teachers of the law. And almost always, he would quote the Old Testament prophets. You'd probably be amazed at how many of the things that Jesus said, almost always when he's talking to the Old Testament prophets, he was talking to the Pharisees and the teachers of the law and the elders, he was quoting the prophets. There are many, many, many prophecies in the Gospels, the four Gospels, from the prophecies from the Old Testament, of prophecies of Jesus. One of these days I want to make a copy of a book and just pull all those prophecies out, the one book, just so you can see the many different ones that are there. Jesus really knew his Bible. In those days, the only Bible they had was the Tanakh. That's a Hebrew word for what we call the Old Testament. The Jews would never call it the Old Testament. They called it the Old Covenant. But they wouldn't call it old either. They would say it's the covenant of God, because if you say old, then it's implying there must be a new. And when Jesus came, he gave the new covenant that we follow as Christians today. But when Jesus was talking to the crowds, a totally different environment, excuse me, a totally different environment from when he was talking to the Pharisees and the tax, elders and the teachers of the law, he talked in parables, constantly teaching in parables. Parables were just stories, but they had spiritual meanings. Why am I saying all of that with this legend? Because our Indian legends, that word legend is synonymous with the word parables. They are stories. Stories. They have spiritual teachings. And so when I gave this particular legend, Indian legend, it's playing the same role that Jesus had if he's talking to the crowd or you today, and probably tell a story, a parable. Quite often, they didn't understand what he meant, what he was teaching. And the disciples are recorded in the Gospel, come to him and say, what did you mean by that? So quite often when I give you a legend, a parable, I have to then come and say, now here is the teaching. So back to the story. Where do I see this in the Gospels? Well, the monster lived in the darkness. That's a very important feature to notice. Daylight would blind him. And he was always out to kill the people, to eat the people. Well, that's Satan, the devil. Now notice I said Satan, the devil. Many of you probably think of those two words as being synonymous. They are not. The word Satan is his name. Excuse me. Got a little feather somehow or other. The word devil is not a name, it's a title. For example, we might say Trump the president. Trump is his name, earthly name. President is not his name, that's the title of his office. We might say, Jesus the Christ. When the archangel came upon Mary and said, thou shalt have a son, and thou shalt call his name, Jesus. He was never called the Christ until he entered his ministry, and they realized that he was the Messiah, the prophesied Messiah. Messiah is a Jewish word. The New Testament written in the Greek language, the word Messiah is Christos, or Christ. Jesus, the Christ. Jesus, the Lord, the God, in human flesh. So here we have the monster is Satan, the devil. You'll notice quite often when Jesus, when he was teaching, he would say, you better follow these teachings, or you'll be cast into outer darkness with Satan. Oh, the outer darkness is the ignorance of the unbeliever. The light is the light of Jesus, as Paul John said, Jesus is the light of the world. And the light blinds the dark, blind the dark gets of Satan. Consequently, you find Jesus constantly is quoting scripture to Satan and taking 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. And he would kind of say, and it is written. You quote scripture, you bring light. That would blind Satan. Finally, Satan had to leave him go. So, here we have the monster is the devil of Satan. The darkness is the darkness of our ignorance, our not understanding, of not following our human ways rather than the godly ways. Whenever you're facing a time of depression, a time of struggle, a time where you're facing opposition, whether that opposition is economic, sociological, spiritual, or whatever, you're facing the enemy of your life. The evil forces that are existing in the world. As the scripture says, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. What's the best way to resist? Quote scripture. But how can you quote scripture if you never read it? How can you use the light to dispel the darkness if you haven't gone to find out what the light is? I have a feeling that Jesus must have had the Old Testament completely memorized. He was constantly saying, it is written, he quotes scripture after scripture, scripture. He quotes all the old prophets and all of them. But can you quote scripture? How much can you quote? Because that's pulling the arrow rope down. And letting it go. And letting the light dispel the darkness that blinds the evil one. And you can get rid of it and he'll flee from you. So, we find in this story a very powerful Christian story, the story of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. What's it mean to be saved? I think a lot of preachers today are missing the point. How many churches will you go into, and to be saved is, I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. Oh, head top. No, that isn't what they tell you. As your faith is obedient, they'll say, disbelieve, and that's it. Now you're saved, now you're going to go to heaven. But there's another Bible writer that says, work out your salvation. Work out your salvation. I believe that being saved is more than just a thing of turning the point in my life, and from here on I'm going to go to heaven. I think a lot of it has to do with the heaven on earth. The heaven here on earth. Being saved from our own ego. Saved from our own spiritual blindness. Finding the true godly self that you are, as you were and I were created in the image of God. We are God's children. Now, how many people have children that is completely obedient? Oh, I've got the most wonderful kids. They always honor me. And how many of you have had kids that gave you nothing but a life of hell for a while? Well, that's the way we are with our Father in Heaven. Some of us really do our best to be obedient, and others of us are just giving God a great nightmare all the time. That's the way we live our lives, because you haven't read the Scriptures. How many of you, I want to ask you a question, raise your hand. How many of you have read the entire Bible all the way through, at least once? I see two hands and one fist. Oh, well, how can you kill the monster? How can you kill the monster? Start shooting some arrows into the sun. That's going to find God in the Scriptures. I guarantee you that if you would read them faithfully, and I would also advise, if you're going to read, don't start with Genesis. Start with the Gospel. Start with the Gospels. Just read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And when you read, I don't want you to just read just as fast as you can. Well, let's see if I can read 10 chapters today. No, 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 no. Read one word at a time. In other words, digest the Gospels. What do you mean, Grandfather, by digest the Gospels? Take it one word at a time. I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about, because for some of you, I'm talking over your head, so I'm going to try and bring it down to where the grassroots where you live. Let's take one verse of Scripture. I remember one time when I used this verse for five Sundays in a row in a church that I was pastoring. The same verse was my text for my sermon, but every message was completely different. And how was it different? Well, it was this word from the verse from the Gospel of Matthew, which reads, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Now, can you imagine what my sermon was when I read my text like this? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What was my message that day? You have to seek. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened. Seek. Seek. If you've never read it all the way through, you better get to doing some seeking. For the next Sunday, I read it, like my text like this. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And what was the mind? I put the power right on you as an individual. You can't depend on your pastor, your guest speaker, or your teachers, or whatever, to do the seeking for you. You must do the seeking. Seek ye first. And the next Sunday, seek ye first. Oh, now you're giving priorities. That's more important to you than having breakfast, lunch, or dinner. That's more important to you than going to work. It's more important to you than anything else. First, 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 put God in your life. Seek ye first. What I'm going to recommend, if you want to defeat the monster, and I will, I guarantee you, I know that there's not a one of us, me included, not a woman can say, I've never faced the monster. We all have faced it, and some of you are facing that monster right now in your life. Seek you first the kingdom of God. Start reading. And as you read the Gospels, you finish with one verse, word at a time. Stop and consider, what kind of changes must I make in my life? Now, again, I want to say that isn't always that easy. I think, for example, as I've been in the process of writing the Gospel according to Jesus, and I'm typing every verse of Jesus, that Jesus is saying and his actions in this book, I even had a struggle here. About 3 weeks ago, as I was typing this one verse in where Jesus, do not store up treasures on earth. The idea was, Sell all that you've got and give it to the poor, and follow me. Boy, that's diametric to my Western culture. In our culture, you've got to, our culture is to gain all you can gain. We have to have our savings account along with our checking account. that whole problem, I was struggling with it because, well, my treasures, my longhouse, my great Indian museum, my treasures, and my fantastic Indian library, getting over almost 3,400 Indian books in it now. My treasures, get rid of it all? I cannot do that. And I was struggling. I guess I'm not following Jesus' teachings. I had it happen last Sunday. Last Sunday was my Indian church service in the longhouse. It was a woman visiting for her very first time. She got there a little early and she was showing pictures of her daughter who is a Catholic nun. I said, then you must be a Catholic. She says, yes, I'm a very devout Catholic. When I came to this part, I shared with them the struggle I'm having over this verse about do not store up any treasures on earth. And I said, I can't help it. I've got to have that. That. She smiled and she raised her hand. I said, yes, what's that? This Catwoman said, well, in our Catholic Church, we are taught that what Jesus is trying to tell us is to share our treasures. And you're sharing your treasure. You're building all that just so your friends and all can have something to enjoy. So why is it troubling you? I told her, I said, now today, I become the student, you become my teacher. Many times as you are reading the scriptures and digesting them, you're going to run into a problem that if you get into somebody that's a friend and say, but have you looked at that scripture this way? This is one of the things that makes unity so different from other denominations of Christianity, because most of the churches are looking, the preachers are looking at the scriptures for literal translation or understanding. Unity looks at them metaphysically. We find another way of looking at the same teachings. But even looking at metaphysically at times, you're going to miss it until maybe somebody else in church says, well, but metaphysically, could it say this instead of that? And all of a sudden, your whole light world lights up, and the darkness of the monster is murdered and gone. So enjoy. Enjoy the beauty of the coyote. The coyote is the changer, and that's Jesus. Jesus is the changer, and he came and he changed everything. And so enjoy the Jesus in your life. One more thing about Jesus. Myrtle and Charles Fillmore, the founders of Unity, were fantastic Jesus people. I have never been in Unity Village, though I passed by and looked into the campus, but my wife, she was a student there for 2 years, studying at Unity Village, and she said there's, I don't know, a pond or a lake or something up there, and she said she'd go up there quite often and for prayer. And she said the story is that Myrtle Fillmore loved to go up and sit there, and one day Jesus came and physically talked to her. Another thing about Myrtle Fillmore, they say that she had a chair, an empty chair she always placed right by her bed. When she was asked, what's that for? She said, that's my Jesus chair. They were great prayer warriors. You have at Unity Village the prayer room that's open 24 hours a day. Where you have a problem, a sickness, a need. I think of one person here that's in the sanctuary here this morning who a few weeks ago called me with a sincere need and desire for healing. Talked to her this morning and she's, and bingo, the need was met. That's Unity Village in the prayer time. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, reading your Bible and being in communication with God will destroy the monster. The coyote, the changer, Jesus will change your life. Enjoy the blessing of God. So it's come well. Let us go into the silence to find the inner self. Relax. Breathe deep. Spend a moment in quiet, silent meditation, listening to that voice of your Lord whispering the very thoughts that I've given you today. Back to the sanctuary in its environment, sense the light of God dispelling the darkness of your doubts and fears, giving your hope, confidence, and faith. You rejoice in song of joy in your heart as you fall in love with Jesus once again. Let's come up.
There are two containers in our baskets. The silver one is for supporting our church, and the copper one is for our outreach program. Our offering prayer is located inside your program. Let's say together as we hold our offering in our hand. Divine love, your movement blesses and multiplies all that I give and all that I receive.
Quietly in your minds.
Daddy. County. Joe Belange, Mike Boyne, Jack Sick.
Beloved Mother, Father, God, we ask for the highest and greatest good for our brothers and sisters, and endeavor to see them through your eyes, knowing all is in divine order. Amen. And now it's time for our prayer of protection. Let's all say the prayer of protection together. You'll find it on the back of your program or right up here on the wall. The light of God surrounds us.
The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is, and all is well.
I want to thank everybody who made service possible today. Thank you, Bob. Thank you, Joyce. Thank you, Eileen, Benny, and Bobby, and Vaughn, and everybody else that came here today. And now let's all form a circle and join hands and sing our song of peace. And don't forget to go downstairs for refreshments and fellowship afterwards. Next week, remember, no speaker, we have our candlelighting ceremony.
Over here, folks.
Hey, let's see if we can all move back towards this corner over here and get pinned.
Yeah.
Yay! Well, really close.
Oh, I made it.
Here's the ghost from here's 20. We can
slow,
make
but I
can
eat
too.